Blog Talk Radio.
It's Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Flat Track Weekly Radio is here, bringing you up-to-date news and insight you won't find anywhere else on the planet. Hosted by Grand National Racer Corey Texter and AMA Pro announcer Scotty Dubler, this show is guaranteed to pack some speed. So sit back and hold on tight. Flat Track Weekly Radio is on, and now here's C-Tex and Hollywood.
It's Tuesday night. We are here, Flat Track Weekly Radio, co-hosting with Scotty Dubler. Sitting here, it's really nice out finally here in Pennsylvania, so I was outside most of the day, and now I'm inside rocking and rolling on the talk show with my buddy Scotty. Scotty, how's Oklahoma treating you?
You know what? We've had a lot of rain, which we need. I'm not going to complain about it, but the sun finally poked its head out today, and it's pretty nice. I'm probably 75 or 80-ish around there somewhere, and we need the moisture, so I'm not going to complain about it. But nice day in Oklahoma. I wish I was outside golfing and instead of looking at your beautiful face.
Golf is lame.
What? Have you tried it?
I golfed maybe once or twice in my life, but
that doesn't count.
Yeah, I just see how hard I can hit the ball and then see how fast I can get from hole to hole in the golf cart. But, I'm just giving you crap. But you seem like you'd be a golfer. But, no, I ran a little bit today and rode my bicycle. It was really nice out. It was a little windy, so that always sucks when you're out there and the wind's trying to blow you over on the bicycle. But, no, it's good weather. I can't complain. This is definitely awesome compared to what we were getting there. I did a 12-hour endurance this past weekend in New Jersey, and it was pretty cold. It was a little chilly, as you know, compared to what I'm used to racing down there. So it was a good time, but it was definitely cold, and I was hoping for about 15, 20 degrees warmer weather.
Well, who was your teammate? I saw you picked up the victory on the CR150. Who was you riding with?
It was actually CRF 100 that I rode. I rode the stock 100 class, and I was teammates with Ashton Yates. It was one of the riders. He's the son of road racer Aaron Yates. So a lot of you guys out there, I'm sure you know Aaron. He's won multiple titles and races, and he's a really accomplished rider in AMA Pro Road Racing. And then my other teammate was young racer Brandon Posh, his name is. He just recently went over to the BSB, British Superbike Series, and finished third in the Milwaukee Cup. He's one of the fastest young amateur riders that come through in America in a very long time. You'll see his name on the podium very soon in the Moto America Series. So I had two really fast teenage kids, Scotty, and then myself. So it was it's very uncommon that I can't keep up with somebody on a mini bike. So I was very thankful those two were on my team because I would have had my hands full chasing after their little asses all day. But it was a good time. We pulled off the win. We did 825 laps, 9:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. It actually, we had a red flag, so they gave us a little bit of extra time, so we'd reached that 12 hours. So it was good. I probably rode for 4.5 hours of it, and we did about hour shifts. So we'd go out, I would do an hour. They'd fuel the other bike up. We had two bikes. We'd come in, switch riders, switch bike, fuel the next bike up, tighten everything, make sure everything was good to go. Aaron actually ran our pits, Aaron Yates, so he was busy all day making sure the bikes were good. We were gassed up, and Amber, my fiance, she made sure I was fed and all that good stuff. But it was a lot of fun. We won by, I think we won by 16 laps, Scotty. So we had a really solid team. Yeah, we had a good team. All the kids I was riding with were very fast, and it was a good time. But that's what I did this weekend, all weekend. You know, Friday was open practice, and I did the 12-hour race on Saturday. So big thanks to New Jersey Mini GP, Ryan Fleming, Nathan Grinoff, everyone from Design Star for putting that race on. It was definitely some madness, but it was a lot of fun. You can actually, I wrote a little blog about it. If you go on my website, if you get bored this week, you can go on and read the blog. It's promosbyctex.com, and you can read the blog about the event. It was a good time.
Did you make any money, or was it a trophy paying event? What kind of awards were handed out?
You know, it was a strictly bragging rights, Scotty, and for something like that, that was almost enough for me, you know, to go out there and win the 12-hour by 16 laps. It was good.
No,
you know, no, yeah, it was, you know, it was just, got a number one plate, so that was cool, but it was, just for fun. It was a good time. Got a lot of riding time in and had a blast. It was a good, got the ride this weekend, but it was low stress environment, which is good sometimes to go out there and remember why racing is fun. But again, we got a great show. You know, speaking of asphalt racing, we got a great show on tap for tonight. We are going to have Danny Eslick as our guest, and although Danny is probably more well known in road racing, he is a former flat tracker. He still races, rides some flat track here and there, and he's competing this year. He got the 24th slot into the X Games, so we're going to talk with Danny about that opportunity, his background in the sport. Who is he riding for, Scotty? I don't even know. We talk with him a little bit about that, and who knows, man? I don't know Danny that well, but I know he's quite the character, so I'm interested in talking with him. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool to catch up with Danny. I haven't talked to him for a while, and he just, you know, he's the back-to-back winner of the Daytona 200 down there, obviously at the Daytona Road Course, and so we'll talk to him about that a little bit. And like you said, find out who he's riding for at the X Games, if he's planning to ride any more Nationals. I don't think he's got himself a secured road race ride this year, so maybe we'll see him at some more dirt track. You never know, but we'll catch up with him. We're also going to talk to Tim Humphreys, who is the promoter of the Ohio Valley Classic, which is coming up this Saturday in Lebanon, Lebanon Raceway, Warren County Fairgrounds in Ohio, and then also coming up this weekend is the Henry Half Mile, which they had a return to that track in about 21 years last year, and they have a $10,000 pro purse this year. So I'm going up there this weekend. Last weekend I went all the way down to Lafayette, Louisiana. We're actually in Scott, Louisiana with Bubba Blackwell. Got to sit on the XR 750, and we fired it up and rode it a little bit. Bubba did some practice jumps on Friday. We had the ramp set. We parked 10 brand-new Dodge pickups in between the two ramps, and he was getting ready to jump, and big bad storm came in Friday night, and it rained most of the morning on Saturday. They ended up calling the event. They're actually going back down there this Saturday. I unfortunately can't be there. I'm committed to go to St. Louis for some global products meetings and then on up to Henry. So I wish Bubba the best down there in Cajun Harley-Davidson, Scott, Louisiana. So my weekend was a lot of driving and a lot of watching rain. So look forward to a better weekend this weekend.
You have such an exciting life, Scotty. I mean, we should just follow you around and just the adventures of Hollywood, just traveling around, announcing monster trucks, stunt shows. You're just awesome, dude. You do a lot of fun stuff. I'm jealous.
Well, you're the one that, you know, gets to go race 12-hour endurance races, ride bicycles every day just to goof off and stay in shape, but you're out there, you know, goofing off. But you know, you got the life too. I mean, you don't got to go to school anymore. You get to sit there and look at all those plaques on the wall. I know most of them are Shana's, but that's okay.
Hey, that's not far from the truth, man. Most of the trophies here are Shana's. We actually had a local news come to our house today. They're doing an interview about us from the X Games, and they're filming the trophies and whatnot we have in our dining room. And I'm like, yeah, most of those are Shana's, but two of those are mine. So that's
right.
Not far from the truth. But hey, you know, youthling's so fun. If you want, I'll bring you a spare bicycle and you can go on a ride with me in Springfield and tell me how fun it is after we're done.
Heck no. The only way I'd ride a bicycle is with you is if I could take about two tie-down straps and hook one to your seat post, and then I'll hook one to my handlebars, and you can pull my ass around Springfield. How's that?
So that'd make for an extra hard workout. So I don't know. I'll have to ponder that one. But I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors before we get too far along here. Same ones as always. They keep us rolling, so we couldn't do without them. Make sure you check all of them out and just thank them for supporting us and supporting the sport. Tom Duma, Fine Jewelers. I saw, Scotty, that TDFJ was on the back of Troy Bayliss's leathers today on Facebook. I saw a picture. So don't know. I guess our boy Tommy is helping out with Bayliss over here, so that's cool to see. Want to give a shout-out to Evans Coolant, John Light, and everyone over there, the whole crew. Great products, man. I can't say enough about their product. You just have to put it in your bike, and you'll thank me later. Light Shoe, Gary Kinsler. Been talking with Gary quite a bit this week. Got my new Light Shoe last week. Haven't got to use it yet, Scotty, but I'm anxious to get it out there and put it to the test. I also want to give a shout-out to Design Star 3. They help us out with some of our logos and stickers and stuff like that. So, again, thanks to all of our sponsors and all of our listeners also. If you guys are out there listening in, feel free to hit us up if you have any questions for our guests or for us, suggestions, anything else, on Twitter, at Corey Texter, at Scotty Dubler. And Scotty's pumping out the Instagram post daily, so make sure you check that out also, at Flat Track Weekly Radio. So it's going to be a good show, Scotty. I'm very excited. Anything else new in the flat track world that you've heard of this week?
You know, not really. I know, you know, the Johnny Lewis deal teaming up with Troy Bayliss was kind of new, you know, but I guess it is official. He's going to be talking to Barry Boone on that other radio show, I think, Talking Motorcycles with Barry Boone. So that's kind of new. Nothing really. I'm still kind of waiting on a few things, you know, a few cards to fall here and there. Did see where Jared Vandecoy won a race in Ohio on Sunday. Didn't see actually where they were at, but it was the first time he won that race. It looked like a pretty cool TT track.
Yeah, Salem, Ohio, Western Reserve. I've never been there, but I've heard good things about it, so got out here in the near future. But, yeah, the Troy Bayliss thing, they actually just posted the picture of his bike today, and it looked good, man. The paint scheme was really neat. It's they're going to go off of kind of like a marketing for the Ducati Scrambler, I think, from what I saw, which I think is a great idea. You know, it's obviously not a scrambler, but, you know, if you look a little bit towards, like, the NASCAR side of things, obviously the NASCARs aren't, you know, Camaros or whatever they put on the front of those cars also. It's all in, you know, for marketing. And the Ducati Scrambler is a really cool motorcycle. I've never actually ridden one, but I've seen videos and, you know, pictures of it. I'd love to get my hands on one and go rip around on it. I think I could definitely make some cool videos with that bike. That's a cool-looking machine. But, I saw that his number was 21, Scotty, and I am almost positive they won't give him a national number. You know, 21's already taken. Duke Erickson has that number. And, you know, I think the 21 was just for promotional use. You know, there's people on the pictures saying, you know, well, how does he get a national number? And other people were saying, well, he's a world champion. He deserves a national number. And I disagree with that 100%. You know, I agree with him coming over and racing loves, but I definitely don't think he should be running a national number. And I don't think he is. I think that was just you know, that's his standard number. It's his number style, so they put it on the bike for promotional stuff. You know, the picture's blowing up all over the internet, and it makes sense to have his number on it. But I think it'll be a 21i or 21t, Scotty. I think so.
Yeah, I think the I is for international. I think you know, unless he has, you know, unless he moves up here to the United States and, you know, and you know, uses an address here in the United States, then he can change to a different letter. Like I know, you know, some of the Japanese riders, I think, use the letter P. That, you know, they station themselves in Illinois, and I remember, you know, other riders coming over and using the letter I for international. T is for Canada, I think. I'm not sure if anybody else uses the letter T, but I bet he's going to have an I after that 21.
Yeah, you just got to be thinking Luke Goff and Mick Kirkness. I think they were using W's. I'm not positive W's or M's, so I think that was Washington. But yeah, I mean, basically for him, heck, he can use anything he wants that's available for 21. I mean, if he uses, I guess, I don't know how that works, Scotty, with the international stuff. I know I is typically international. We've had a few I's come over here, most of the international boys that come over, they adopt the letter of a state to which they're staying at or based out of. So anyway, we'll see. The number's not real important. You know, the important thing is that he's coming over, and I definitely welcome him to the series. I'm excited to line up next to him, you know, possibly, and bang some bars. I think he'll, well, not bang bars, but you get what I'm saying. Don't want to bang bars at Springfield, but yeah, I'm excited.
Not going that fast.
It's going to be, yeah, for sure. It's going to be a good deal, though, for everyone involved. It's going to be good. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, too. I think, like you said, it's just generating more information, you know, more people getting interested in our sport, and, you know, hopefully more people will show up to Springfield and the rest of the miles that he's going to be racing for sure, and you know, he'll bring out some more supporters and be worldwide. So hopefully that helps. Also, I saw, you know, a lot of people were posting their new front number plates for the X Games. Those look pretty cool. I'll be pretty excited to see those when we get down there to Austin. I do know I'm going to Austin. I just don't know what capacity I'll be down there doing, but I'm going to be part of that as well. So that's going to be pretty exciting. We'll have to wait and see how that unfolds. But the front number plates look pretty good. You got yours yet, or that's just what they've sent you so far?
Well, I got the proof for the front number plate, the X Games deal, and it looks really cool. I was excited about it. I know it's just as simple. It's my number with my name and a little X next to it, but that X is pretty significant. So I was digging it when I seen it. Pro plates, got the proof together and sent it over to, I guess, most of the riders, and that was really cool. It looks great, and I'm excited to put that on front of my motorcycle and get out there and compete. So that was pretty cool news to see those pictures floating around. That's kind of, it's like more like, wow, it's coming, you know, where it's almost, man, about a month and a half away. So less than a month and a half. So it's coming fast, and we're all excited. But our first guest looks like he's on the line. I'm going to bump out a quick commercial. When we come back, we'll talk with Danny Eslick.
Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. What does flat track and jewelry have in common? Tommy Duma, former GNC National number 26 and 62.
This is Tommy Duma, and I want to personally take care of all of your jewelry needs. My team and I will custom design and handcraft any type of racing jewelry, from custom number plates to steel shoe pendants and any precious metal. You can even send us your favorite photo, and we'll recreate it as a stunning pendant or ring of your choice. Besides custom racing jewelry, Tom Duma Fine Jewelers is home to the nation's top designers like David Yurman and Rolex. We offer the best names in engagement ring designers like Tacori, Verragio, Michael M., Danoff, Simon G., A. Jaffe, and many more. With direct connections to one of the world's largest Israeli diamond cutters, I can guarantee that TDFJ diamonds will have more sparkle. This also means that our diamond prices are as competitive as any brick-and-mortar jewelry store or anything that you can find on the Internet. Helping past and current GNC racers with their jewelry needs since 1982. I look forward to becoming your trusted jeweler as well. Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. Check us out at TDFJ.com.
We are back. Scotty, now I think of it, I think I did get the race against Danny. Might have been at Springfield Mile a couple years ago. I definitely didn't get the ride with him at the TT because I remember watching it, and I remember some excitement going on there during the main event. But without further ado, let's bring him on right now. He is live. Danny Eslick, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Let's get right into what I was just talking about. You rode, I think, I don't remember your last national, but I do remember you riding the Springfield TT, making that main event. I think you put it through the infield or the pits in the main event. Let's talk a little bit about that and, you know, the last nationals that you actually rode in the AMA Pro Flat Track Series.
Yeah, that was one of the nationals I made and earned my national number, which I never got to actually run a national number. I've always been a letter guy, so to speak. Yeah, that one at Springfield TT was a little out there. I think I was sixth or seventh behind Mies and ran into him into that little hairpin they had into the turn three and four or whatever by the pits and busted the radiator and it started squirting hot water on me. So I bailed off of it and ghost rode the bike and it hit the hot dog stand and went down through the pits. And I think it hit Henry Wild's dad's truck or something. I'm not sure.
Well, I thought you were trying to make the concession stand a ride-through. You know, you have drive-throughs all over the place, Danny, and I thought you were trying to make that a ride-through.
I thought we were going to do pit stops at the PT.
You're just making up the rules as we go. So you said you never got to run a national number. What number are you going to be using down there at the X Games? And congratulations on being invited to go to the X Games for the first ever flat track.
Thank you. It's definitely cool to be a part of X Games. It's a huge deal. I got invited a few years ago for Supermoto, and that was definitely above and beyond my level of Supercross jumps there. I wasn't really up for that. So, you know, dirt track, and we got Peoria with a nice big single there, and I'm good with that. So, you know, it's neat to be a part of X Games, and it's going to be fun. But it'll be number 69 for X Games as far as I know.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was good to see your name pop up on the social media there and see that you were invited. I'm definitely excited to race with you and have you, you know, part of the games. You know, you're a two-time Daytona 200 winner and, you know, you're a former XR 1200 champion in the road racing series and just a competitive guy from what I've seen. So definitely cool to have you involved. We know you're jumping into the X Games racing, the flat track stuff, and it's going to be on twins. You know, you have some experience on the twin motorcycles. What bike will you be riding at the X Games? Did you figure that out yet?
I'll be riding a Harley.
Well, are you going to elaborate a little bit more, Danny? You going to tell us who it is? Or are you on the factory Harley? Or come on, now we need more information.
No, it's Aaron Limper's T&R Racing Harley out of Kansas. And, those are local guys pretty much for local dirt tracking around Oklahoma and Kansas. And he offered me up a bike before this opportunity even came about. And, I jumped all over. I planned on coming and doing a little bit of turning left this year at some point, and this opportunity came about. So, there's even more reason to jump on it and come out and do some racing, where my roots are.
Well, I know that you're a former winner in the pro stuff, in the 883 class. So I wasn't sure if you're going to go out there and race an 883 or not. I didn't know if that you had that on your radar, or if you were any ideas about that.
That 883 I rode at Springfield is probably capable of winning all of them.
No kid, that thing was fast. I remember you on your victory lap pulled the front wheel down the whole front straightaway. I'm like, I've never seen an 883 do a wheelie.
Yeah, if anybody says 883 fast, just ask Brian Smith.
you put it on them that day. So you kind of alluded a little bit that you might be racing a few Grand Nationals this year. Do you have any ones in particular that you already picked out?
Nothing set in stone. It's obviously looking at Memorial Day weekend. I've missed that one for a lot of years being on the road race scene, and as of now, that's kind of not non-existent for me, with Moto America and all that right now. There's not a whole lot going on, so I'm going to come out and have some fun and turn left and gas that thing up.
Well, do you have plans to do any road racing? I know you mentioned that it's kind of not in plans right now for you, but are you still working on trying to
do
the
every
series?
Day there's phone calls. Yeah, there's phone calls and there's stuff every day that I'm, stuff going on, but as a racer, you got to pay the bills, and it's hard to go and do it for nothing. So I'm hoping to kind of get something going. There's some big stuff in the works for a little bit later on in the year, and that's not for really here in the States, but can't really say too much about it.
Well, let's talk about the Daytona 200 a little bit. It was one of the most exciting races that they've had down there in quite a while, and you pull out the victory and you won back-to-back. Tell us about what that's like and what that's like to have on your resume as a two-time Daytona 200 winner.
Well, as of now, it gets me into the X Games, so that's the biggest bonus so far.
Winning
one is huge. It's, the one last year I didn't ever imagine it. It was a huge, huge win, and then this year was even sweeter coming around, and it was a hard fought win with, one of my biggest rivals over the past few years, with Heron, and to come out the victor on top of that whole race long battle was, definitely made me feel good, even though there's, those guys have been out and raced two races, and I've sat at home and been playing golf, so it sucks that I've been at home doing that, but I've enjoyed playing a few rounds.
Golfing must be an Oklahoma thing, Scotty. You're golfing, Eslick's golfing. I don't know, man. I can't get into it.
Well, Ronnie Jones, he's the one that taught me how to golf, or he's teaching me how to golf whenever I see him and stuff like that. And what? We got to do something here. We're not going to play with all these cows, right? Right, Danny?
Hey, I can promise you it's more than a one-ball sport.
That's awesome. I might take a stab at it at some point this year, but I was just thinking, I used to race against AJ when I first turned pro, and he was a consistent rider out there on the series. What is AJ up to, and is he still riding at all?
Shoot, I don't know if they make scales big enough for what he's up to these days. No, that's just good to have him. He's doing all right. He's married and got a cute little girl, and just living the American dream, working and taking care of his family in North Carolina.
Well, Danny, you've been riding motorcycles for as long as I've known you. I think you were probably, two or three years old when the first time I seen you, and it seemed like you were riding motorcycles already. But, you've ridden a lot of racetracks all across, all over the place. Do you have a favorite racetrack? And it could be road race, could be dirt track, shoot, it could be supermoto. Do you have a favorite racetrack, and why?
One of my favorite ones, and one I haven't had the best of luck at. I think I've won one of the XR 1200 Harley races there, and that's Elkhart Lake Road America in Wisconsin. It's like a 4-mile road racetrack and ripping down through the trees, and it's just, to me, is one of the coolest and
and real road race tracks that there is. You know, there's a lot of other ones where you race it. You know, Daytona, which is neat and it has its own thing. But then you go to Road America where you're ripping down through woods that have been there for 100 years. There's nothing cooler than that.
No doubt about it. I got to race Road America a couple seasons ago, and it was a really cool experience, really cool facility. I didn't do very well at that racetrack. You know, like you mentioned, it's definitely a road racing track. It's nothing like Daytona or anything else, but a really cool facility. I kind of was curious, you know, with your, you know, you haven't been flat tracking too much over the past few seasons, but like I mentioned, you're a really competitive dude. What are your expectations for the X Games? You know, I'm sure you want to go out there and get a medal. What are your goals for as far as your flat tracking goes this year?
Man, I just want to go down there and have some fun is the biggest thing, and obviously be competitive. That's in my blood. It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, racing my 3-year-old nephew around my mom's gravel driveway in an electric dune buggy or an X Games. I'm going to be out there to win. You know, that's just kind of born and bred that way. But, you know, I don't know. Obviously, I haven't dirt tracked, like you said, in a long time. I want to go and not be the slowest guy in the first session and improve from there. So that's where I'm at. I'll go and make sure I don't wad it up and figure things out and be up in the front and at least racing competitively in the front.
Are you living back in Oklahoma right now, and are you doing any kind of dirt track training right now at all?
Oh, yeah. It's in the process. It's been a while since I've turned left. I think the last time was last January was the last time I rode an indoor, and Ronnie Jones knocked the dust off and came out and put the whooping on me.
You let that old guy beat you?
Yeah, that old guy. I guess he had some experience or something, they said.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. But you're actually going to be riding the bike that he rode last, and he actually made the main out of Calistoga on that same motorcycle. Is that right?
That's exactly it. So I figured it's a good bike, and another good Oklahoma rider's ridden it. So why not get on there? And we know the bike's capable, and the guys building it are good. So, you know, it's basically up to me to go down there and stretch the throttle cables. I call it the schnobble, just stretch the throttle cables on the thing.
I use that phrase all the time. That's hilarious. Have you followed the series much over the past couple seasons? I'm sure you have. You know, what did you think of the way everything kind of shaked out last year with Jared Meese winning the championship and Brian Smith, the black flag situation at Calistoga? What were your thoughts on the way last season kind of shaped up?
I haven't kept up with it as much as, you know, whenever my brother was racing and I was doing the road race stuff full time. I mean, when I get a chance, I keep up with it. But I definitely seen that deal, and that was, I don't know what to say about it. I thought he had won. I think I even posted something on social media about it and had to take it down. So, you know, it's a bummer. I mean, I like both those guys, raced with both of them, and, you know, I don't know what the whole deal was on the call. It's, you know, losing or winning one, whichever way you look at it, kind of sucks. You know, losing it that way and knowing you could have won it or winning it that way and knowing it could have been different. Either way, it kind of sucks for both of them, I think.
Yeah, it was a tough deal, but, you know, it's going to be settled again this year, so they can go at it and decide the championship once again. Let's talk a little bit about AJ. We've brought him up a few times. You said he's tipping the scales a little bit, but who's faster on a motorcycle, you or AJ?
Oh, come on now. You've been around my whole dirt tracking with the bro. You know I whip him all the time, Scotty.
Well, I know, but I didn't know if that was still the case. I mean, I figured he's got a little bit more experience now.
I think he's got all the cheater parts. He knows all the cheater moves now. He's older. With no comment
right
there, guys. Come on.
Yeah, what to say is, and you know, try to back him. You know, at least say something for him. I talked to AJ last week, actually, just checking in with him, and he's super excited. We're actually going back to Charlotte. Near the end of the season, that's where he made his first Grand National main event. I told him to dust off the leathers, and he said there wasn't a cow bit.
He won his first Sportster main event there. Yeah.
So I said, you know, you have to dust off the leathers. He said he has to add a few inches to them to put them on. So I don't know if he'll be making that happen or not.
Yes, I know I got some leathers I can still grow into.
Yeah.
How's your last name?
Yeah, last
on
name's already on it.
Yeah, I've yet to fill his letters up. That's for sure.
That's good.
Well, you mentioned a little bit earlier when you were talking about the 200 that, you know, you got to beat one of your biggest rivals in Josh Herron. Do you have any other rivals that you kind of grew up with in dirt track, you know, guys you kind of hated to see in front of you? You know, everyone has rivals. I like to ask, you know, different riders this question to see, you know, who they kind of battled with in their youth and amateur ranks, you know, coming up through.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to do a lot of the amateur nationals and racing with a lot of the guys that are doing it now, for the most part. I, for the most part, I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy and get along with everybody. I mean, I have my beef with certain people or, you know, maybe not like somebody for whatever reason. But, you know, I can pretty much get along with everybody. And, everybody's my rival whenever the face shield goes down. So, you know. I like everybody just as equally as much as I don't like them when we get on the racetrack, I guess.
I like that answer. That's a good one. I really like that one. We appreciate you taking time to be on the show. Actually, Corey's got one more question for you.
All right.
Yeah, Danny, I was just wondering, you know, with all this news about, you know, Mark Marquez's race and Valentino Rossi, you know, getting into the sport and now Troy Bayliss coming over, what do you think kind of sparked the excitement in the road racing paddock involving dirt track and what are your thoughts on those guys and the Super Prestige and all that stuff?
Well, I'm sure Bayliss and Marquez having a lot to do with their dirt track and pumping it up and, you know, being a world champion road race guy, you know, is getting a lot of attention, and all the video and social media is getting a lot of attention drawn to it. And, you know, hopefully it just picks up and gets more people wanting to come over and ride and do it. I mean, you know, I'm doing it because there's not a whole lot else going on. And in the past, I've had, you know, a full paid ride where I can't really afford to come out and dirt track to have fun and risk hurting myself type of thing. And, you know, I want to come out and have some fun and risk hurting myself now. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's neat that all those guys are involved and bringing some attention to the sport, though.
How do you think Bayliss is going to do? I mean, his first time out is going to be at the Springfield Mile, and he's going to ride all the miles. What do you think he's going to do, you know, when he gets on the legendary Springfield Mile Memorial Weekend?
I mean, I can tell you one thing. It's a lot different from riding an 883 to riding an XR 750, because I think the one you're referring to, Corey, was me riding Springfield on 750, and that wasn't the prettiest day of my life, for sure. It was not the fastest day, for sure. So, you know, Springfield's, it's not easy to learn, and it's a fast track, and it's different than anything anybody's ever ridden in the world.
Well, once again, Danny, we appreciate you coming on. We wish you well down there at the X Games, and we hope to see it at some Grand Nationals and put that 69G number plate back on for those Nationals, and we'll see you down the road pretty soon.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Before we let you go, you want to thank anybody?
Man, I'd like to thank Rye Helmet, Speed and Strength Leathers, my mom and my nephews, and just everybody that's stayed behind me and kept me going, and the fans, and you guys for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Oklahoma's own Danny Eslick. He'll be number 69 at the X Games. He'll be number 69. Jay, sounds like he's going to be running some Nationals this year. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll have our next guest, Tim Humphreys. We'll be right back. Evans Wireless Engine Coolant. Over the last 20 years, Evans Wireless Coolants have been tested and proven by OEMs, racing teams, and automotive aficionados to increase reliability and reduce operating costs. The operating temperature of an engine is very close to the boiling point of water. Hot spots within the cooling system can lead to localized boiling, generating steam, which increases system pressure and prevents effective cooling. Evans Wireless Coolants have a boiling point of over 375 degrees. Far above the operating temperature of the engine. The high boiling point ensures that the coolant remains liquid at all times, enabling consistently effective cooling. Eliminating water eliminates the problem of boil over after boil over. Try some today in your race bike. For more information, log on to evanscooling.com or call 888-990-2665.
That was a fun segment, Scotty. Danny's definitely a cool dude. He's just likes to have fun. I liked his outlook and everything. He didn't come out and say he was gonna win or, you know, even medal. He just wanted to have fun and And I think that's great. I think a lot of guys that do that end up racing better too. So no, that was cool. Cool to have him on. Our next guest is on the line right now, and he's been a part of the sport for as long as I can remember, Scotty. He's been doing different things regarding, you know, promotions for the sport and everything else, helping out different riders. Seen him wrench on a few motorcycles here and there, and he's our next guest right now, Tim Humphreys. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We're real excited about the race this week, and I've been hearing, you know, stuff about it for months now. I think, like, even dating back to, you know, end of last year. So you definitely did your homework on the event, and let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about the Ohio Valley Classic. How did you get involved in it, and give us some details on it?
Well, the biggest thing is there's a void in our area. We used to have one of the biggest paying non-nationals in the country, which was the old-time charity Newsies there at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds. It went away. We used to have Springfield, Ohio was the first race of the year. It went away. It's growing grass now. And really, there's just a void. You had some really good promoters that have either moved on, passed away, or whatnot. So, you know, it's just back to that word void. And, you know, there's a local businessman here in town says you're either part of the problem or part of the solution. So you got to step up and fill the void. And that's the other thing is our local fairgrounds has been a race facility for the longest time for gambling. And they actually sold the gaming license to one of these brand new racinos that moved over to the highway. And now that property needs to diversify its funds. So as soon as they sold the rights to the gambling, I stepped in and went in and sold a sales pitch that they haven't had motorcycles on that track since 1966. So, you know, that's, you know, I think there's an area to be filled as far as for promoters and for facilities. So it's time to learn how to be a promoter.
Well, we wish you a lot of luck. You know, it sounds like you got all your ducks in a row and everything. Tell us what classes you're going to be running, because I know last time I talked to you, there's just a small handful, and you got an invitational Pee Wee class too, right?
That's correct. I've got expert twins, expert singles, pro twins, pro singles. We've got 450 amateur, 250 amateur, and 40 plus. We're only doing 12 people main events. We've got about 400 to 500 head of horse there, and it's a wonder they're even letting us have an event. So my goal is to do something in a clean, timely manner, respect the track, respect the horses, and possibly have an invitation to be able to have another event. And I keep using the word event. I'm not having a race, because the event is all about we're having two live bands. We've got a bike show. And it's a multi-tiered situation. So it's just not about, you know, trying to collect money off the backside of the rider and the family.
I like the way you're thinking, Mr. Humphreys. I can appreciate that. You know, I think, like Scotty said, it seems like you have all your ducks in a row, and it's the way you got to go about it for sure. You know, as a rider, I'm kind of curious though, for the open singles, is it going to be a framer class, runway Jabrong, or DTX style motorcycles?
Well, we are non-sanctioned. This is a ground-level attempt. You know, my mind wants to go big and make things grander, but the reality of it is, you know, it's a first-time event, first-time promoter. They haven't had people there since 1966, so it's just try to pull off a good, clean, quality show. The actual bikes themselves, being that we are open, you know, it's not about, you know, all of the rules of like a Grand National or, a similar race of that nature. So, it is 450 amateur, and it is a singles class R450s. So it can be a frame or, you know, a C&J or whatnot.
So no big bore road taxes, but you will allow 450 framers.
That is correct.
That's pretty cool, Tim. I've been going to the racetrack for, you know, my whole life, basically, and it seems like everywhere we go, we run into each other, and you're just a biggest fan of the sport, as you are a part of the sport. Tell us how you got involved in going to dirt track or flat track races.
Well, my father was a motorcycle racer. He was one of the top junior racers in Ohio in 68. And they've had a, you know, my grandfather started a Triumph dealership back in 1962 that my father still runs today. So, you know, that's still going on. And, you know, he kind of rekindled himself, you know, with going back down to Lawrenceburg, you know, somewhere in his later 30s or whatever. And then I kind of got an itch. And so a little bit of, you know, somehow I end up on a B50 BSA down there, kind of running around in circles. And then next thing you know, he goes out and buys a bike off of Gary Scott. And then I kind of evolved into riding it and then kind of moved to a night chassis and then rode, got my pro single license for a while. And then, I think it was better off being a mechanic than it's kind of hard to get 6 foot three. You know about that, Hollywood.
Yep.
That 6 foot three on a motorcycle might not just be so much to be.
Well,
you know,
I don't have to
that?
Deal with that, guys. Well, Tim, you know, with the event, you know, being so far, you know, you've been promoting it for so long, and you seem to have a lot of good classes involved. Have you had any riders commit to coming out to it? Any professional riders you know offhand coming to the race?
You know, we got the Red Rocket, Jared Vanderkooy. He's going to make it over. I know Nicole, I was just at her shindig, her last final shindig, this past Saturday night. She's got intentions of coming down, but, you know, there's no guarantees. You know, Justin Jones is talking about coming over, and, you know, it's just a kind of a who's who. I think the most important thing is people from the east heading towards Henry. Being that it's a midday race and, you know, the main events will be over with somewhere around about 7 o'clock, it gives them an opportunity to get over there and still, you know, be able to run. And I want to say congratulations to what Henry's got going on, because the Armory stepped up and put that $10,000 out there, and they've got Scotty Parker and Chris Carr going to be out there signing autographs. And you know, that they didn't do that the first year, this is my first year. So, you know, I want to kind of draft what they got going on and hopefully get my first one in the books and then hopefully be able to set toe on what they've got going on. I'm really proud and I think it's neat what they've got going on over there.
Well, it's pretty cool, too, that it's the same weekend. I know a lot of people were disappointed that it was the same weekend, but like you said, your race will be over by 7 o'clock. I think it's only about a 4.5 to 5.5 hour drive, depending on which way you go and stuff like that. So riders and actually spectators, I know a lot of people are going to both races, so it's pretty cool that it worked out. And you actually said there's a race in Lawrenceburg on Friday night. Is that still going on also?
Yeah, May 1st is the first Friday night. It's the season kickoff. You've got the people over there at Western Hills Honda have been running that for probably almost 30 years. Herschel Binkert and Barry Jr. and them, you know, they've got a love for the sport. And Lawrenceburg, that valley over there is really behind them. And so, you know, hopefully we'll try to maybe the next event, we'll try to work some things together. I know me and Hollywood, we talked about some ideas of how to incorporate the local every Friday night race with something like what I've got going on. And, you know, hopefully that happens and comes to fruition, you know, the next time we get something together.
As a pro rider, again, a lot of guys might be wondering what kind of payout you're looking at. Is it 100% payout based on entries? How is that going to work for each class, Tim?
Well, I'll tell you, Tex, I appreciate you asking that. And really, it's everybody says the same thing. You know, I've got machine shops and just people that own different types of companies, and they all want to see how the first one goes because there hasn't been one for so long, and they all say, we'll help next year. Well, I've got your name and your phone number, so be counting on me getting a hold of you. But for this event, you know, it's 100% payback based on rider entry. And, you know, if the front gate for some reason just, you know, starts to exceed expectations, well, then the goal is to try to move that towards the riders, you know, to help support the sport.
And we, you know, as riders, as people in the sport, we appreciate you, you know, sticking your neck out there. We don't, you know, a lot of people don't realize how much is involved in putting on a race. You probably didn't realize, you know, even being in the sport for so long, all the little things you have to think about and all the things you have to do to get ready. But we wish you a lot of success. If you want more information, go to facebook.com
/theOhioValleyClassic. Get a hold of Tim on there, and he'll give you some more information. And, Tim, we appreciate you coming on, and we wish you well this this weekend. Do you want to thank anybody, or do you want you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I tell you what. I know you had Danny on earlier, and I just want to say one of the most coolest things I've ever seen in my life was him riding Dan Daffner's 883 at Prestonburg, Kentucky, all the way up until he blew it up. That he had that thing revving like nobody's business, and that was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. I hope he's listening, and he knows that I talk about that every time I see him. As far as my end, you know, when you mention a name, you forget not one. So everybody that knows who they are, you know, the biggest supporter I've had has been my father. He's continually been there for me, and I appreciate that more than anything. I appreciate you texting and Hollywood having me on. It means the world. And, you know, what we can do is we can have our first event, and maybe I'll be on the radio with you guys later when I'm having, you know, one on down the road.
Well, that sounds great. Best of luck to you, and I hope, you know, hope the weather's great, and I hope you get a big crowd, and I hope you got some good racing, and I hope your event goes well. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
That was Tim Humphreys, BHD Promotions, Big Hump Daddy. That was BHD. Hey, did you get that? Did you get that, Corey? You act like you don't understand English.
Got it. I can
all
dig
right.
it.
Good. All right. We're going to take our short break. We'll come back. We'll have some closing thoughts. We'll be right back.
Light Shoe, the number one maker of steel shoes for dirt track racers. Light Shoes come with a one-year guarantee on light shoe material and craftsmanship. Light Shoes are worn by the pros like Mark Marquez, Sammy Halbert, Wyatt McGuire, Jeffrey Carver, and former Grand National Champion Brad the Bullet Baker. Light Shoes can be purchased separately or as a boot and steel shoe combination. Light Shoe also carries hot shoe straps, t-shirts, and hoodies. For more information, check out lightshoe.com. Light Shoe for the racer's heart and soul.
That was a good show, Hollywood. I want to thank our guests, Danny Eslick and Tim Humphreys, for tuning in. It was a lot of information gained, at least from my end of things. So it was definitely cool to have those guys on.
Yeah, it was, you know, both of them. You know, Danny is hilarious. He's one of the funniest guys that I know, actually. And he's always got a smile on his face. He's a fun character, and he's a fun rider to watch. Also, his brother did text me, and he said he's at 183 pounds right now. And that is some prime racing weight, is what AJ said. So AJ was listening, and we're glad you're listening, bud. And also, I don't want to forget about the Class of 79 and Friends is having their golf outing in Springfield. That'll be on Friday afternoon. I think it's at the Bunn Golf Course, which is a really fun golf course. 100% of that goes to help riders that get hurt in our sport of flat track. So check them out on Facebook, Class of 79 and Friends, and get a hold of Charlie Roberts, Tommy Duma, Steve Luparell, you know, Ronnie Jones. The original Class 79 actually includes Wayne Rainey and Scott Parker. And so it's a huge, huge deal they got going on. The golf outings where they raise a lot of money to help anybody that gets hurt in our sport of flat track. So we wanted to mention that again. Keep forgetting to talk about those folks. But it's a good group of people to help out. And they, like I said, they help out our sport. So and also I want to say thanks to all of our followers on social media and all of our listeners here on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. It's been a lot of fun so far, and it just keeps getting bigger and better.
Yeah, I mean, the Class of 79, they do a lot for the sport. Like you mentioned, Tommy Duma is a part of that class, one of our sponsors. And I want to give a shout-out to Aid to Injured Riders also. They do so much. Nicolee and Souders and Jody Johnson and the whole crew, they do a lot. The rider cards, make sure you guys get your hands on them. They're really cool. You know, you'll definitely look back and 10, 15, 20 years and enjoy those things for sure. So make sure you check them out. Yours truly is on it, so if you put it on top of the deck, you probably keep the mice away in your house, throw darts at it, whatever works. But check those out as well. And as Scotty mentioned already, I just want to thank you guys for tuning in. You know, gives us motivation to come on here every week and do the show. You know, Tuesday night, 8 p.m., my day's set. You know, I got plans every Tuesday night, and I enjoy it. So I just want to thank you guys for tuning in, hitting us up on social media, and letting us know you appreciate what we do. So that's all I got, Scotty. Anything else for you?
no, that's all I got. I just wish everybody well that's racing this weekend, and hopefully we'll get to talk about it on Tuesday, and hopefully both races go well. I'm talking about the race at the Ohio Valley Classic that we just talked to Tim Humphreys about, and the big race going on there in Henry, Illinois this weekend. And if they're racing anywhere else in the country, everybody be safe and have fun. And we will see you guys next week right here on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show.